Now this week, Wisconsin was front and center for a clash of pandemic and politics. Our April 7th election went forward as scheduled, despite a messy back and forth between Governor Evers, Republicans in the state legislature, and the state Supreme Court. Some argued voters were being forced to choose between their personal safety and the right to fill out a ballot, while others said there were plenty of safe protocols in place and that people who wanted to vote absentee or by mail could have made requests to do so well in advance. Dave Daly's journalism has appeared in The New Yorker, Washington Post, and The Atlantic, among others. He's former editor-in-chief of Salon. Dave wrote a book on gerrymandering, subtitled Why Your Vote Doesn't Count. His latest, released at the end of last month, is called Unrigged: How Americans Are Battling Back to Save Democracy. Dave, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me on.
Well, we're still waiting for results from this week's election in Wisconsin, both the outcome itself and, as we heard earlier from our health services secretary, tracking of the possible impact it could have had on the number of COVID-19 cases. Looking in from the outside, what were some of your observations of what happened here in the state?
You know, the images from Wisconsin were truly shocking to see this week, just watching these thousands of voters outside precincts wearing masks, some of them in wheelchairs, lined up trying to socially distance, often in these lines for hours. And then the other image I think that I won't forget is the Speaker of your assembly assuring voters that everybody was perfectly safe while wearing a mask and full personal protective gear. I can't imagine that was comforting or convincing for very many voters there.
I want to give a listen to Assembly Speaker Robin Voss working at a polling place in Burlington. He gave an interview to the Journal Times while dressed in, as you mentioned, that personal protective equipment. Here's some of what he had to say.
We are here today making sure that we do everything safely. I think it's a testament to the people who have really thought about this election. They knew what they were doing. They worked really hard to make sure that everybody who is here, the ones who are at the poll place working, the people who are coming in their cars, everybody is here safe. They have very minimal exposure. Actually, there's less exposure here than you would get if you went to the grocery store.
So the case being made by Speaker Voss and others was that we ultimately got it right and made a fairly safe voting experience for the people who showed up.
That just seems as if he probably could have made that case more convincing if he was standing there in a mask and full personal protective gear. Again, you know, the voters of Wisconsin were forced to make this decision between potentially catching a deadly respiratory disease and voting, because their state's politicians forced them into that decision by refusing reasonable requests, refusing to make the kind of decision, responsible decision, that just about every other state in the nation has made to postpone elections and to expand mail-in balloting options. There was no need to force voters to the polls. There was no need to do this in person. This was a purely political exercise. It was a political power play designed, you know, largely around the importance of this Supreme Court seat, which could well be crucial as far as deciding what your state's legislative maps look like for the next decade and who has the power to draw them. It's a seat that could be crucial for the upcoming case that decides whether it will be okay to purge about 240,000 voters ahead of the November 2020 election in a state that was decided by only 22,000 votes in 2016. So this was a really consequential election, but there was no need for it to be held in person.
Talking to Dave Daly, author of the new book, Unrigged: How Americans Are Battling Back to Save Democracy, talking about voting in a time of pandemic and what it means for our elections. And Dave, since your book came out, you've also written some about the pandemic, the COVID-19 outbreak, and how it relates to elections. And one point you make is you say it highlights problems that were already there, flaws you see in our system. What kind of things do you see?
Well, I think what this really shows us is that we have a system that is going to be forcing millions of Americans to line up at the ballot box in November when we don't know what the conditions on the ground are going to look like. There could be cities and states around the country in which conditions are very similar to the ones that you all faced in Wisconsin on Tuesday. And we are not prepared for this. There's only 200 days left before the presidential election. If we want to be certain that this election is free and fair and safe and secure, there's a lot that we have to do to safeguard the vote and to expand options and to be certain that we are ready for it. I mean, what happened on Tuesday and what happened on Monday, I think, is just as disturbing. You had a huge legal battle the day before an election about whether or not the election ought to take place the next day. Can you imagine if this is the case in states around the country? If this is replicated nationwide in November, we do not have to turn a public health crisis into a full-blown constitutional crisis. But if we can't get a handle around how we're going to conduct this election in November, that's the road we are headed down.
I want to key in on the mail-in voting idea. I want to give a listen to President Trump, first of all, in a press conference being asked about mail-in voting. Here's a listen.
You were highly critical of mail-in voting, mail-in ballots for voting.
I think mail-in voting is horrible.
You voted by
it's
mail
corrupt.
In Florida's election last month, didn't you?
Sure, I could vote by mail for that.
How do you reconcile
because
that?
I'm allowed to.
So there's skepticism among some about allowing large-scale mail-in voting, but a lot of people do it, and there's some support in both parties for it. Why is it controversial, do you think?
You know, I think it's controversial because the president would like to suggest that there is voter fraud when there's actually not. I mean, vote by mail is well established. It's used by tens of millions of Americans. It's the only mechanism used to vote in five states, including Republican Utah. It boosts the turnout across the board. It's very popular among voters. And there is very little evidence of any voter fraud. I mean, the truth of the matter is all voter fraud in this country is exceptionally rare, but it's also really rare when you're talking about vote by mail. There was an amazing study of this in Oregon, which was the first state in the nation to adopt a vote by mail. And there was a study of the hundreds of millions of ballots that have been cast since they moved in that direction. They found 14 examples of fraud out of all of those hundreds of millions of ballots. So what I worry about is that the president is being intentionally disingenuous when he's talking about voter fraud here, and that this is designed really to run out the clock, to stall, to make it really hard for us to establish the mechanisms that we need in order to have a genuinely free and fair election in the fall.
We're talking to Dave Daly, author of the new book, Unrigged, How Americans Are Battling Back to Save Democracy. We're talking about our vote in Wisconsin this week, what it tells us about our system, possible flaws in that system. Also talking about the idea of mail-in voting, allowing maybe just plain everyone to do it or everyone who wants to do it. We asked you on the Ideas Network Facebook page about the idea of mail-in voting. We heard a lot of responses from you. Here are a few examples. David wrote, 100% what just happened is criminal. Babs wrote, I think it should be all by mail, but this past election proved that not everyone received ballots. Nancy wrote, absolutely not, opens the door for an enormous amount of fraud. A different Nancy said, the post office would need to be improved dramatically. Well, how about you? You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think of what happened on Election Day Tuesday? What do you wish had happened? If you wanted it to be different, should we allow anyone who wants to vote by mail? Should we get rid of in-person voting altogether and just mail them in? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or join the many people posting on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation with Dave Daly of the nonpartisan voting advocacy organization Fair Vote. We're talking about voting by mail, voting during a pandemic, and his new book, Unrigged, How Americans Are Battling Back to Save Democracy. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have for our guest about examples he's seen in other states of people pushing their government to become more truly democratic? What do you think of the idea of voting by mail? What's your reaction to the election we just had on Tuesday? Join in at 800-642-1234. We'll go to your calls now. Gary is with us in Iron River. Gary, hello.
Good afternoon, guys. Say, your guest mentioned that there's been studies on fraud and no fraud has been found or very little fraud has been found. I struggle with understanding how you can find the fraud. You don't know where the fraud was. How do you know somebody didn't go to the nursing home and get the fill in the form for their mother and get somebody to sign it and send it in? I can't understand how these studies can be thorough.
Gary, thanks for the call. Dave, yeah, is it possible that there's some stealthy types of mail-in fraud, as Gary was saying?
If that's the case, all of these studies have not found it. There are laws against all of these things. There are already laws against what has been called ballot harvesting, which is what he's talking about if you go into a nursing home and try to collect ballots. There are laws against absentee ballot fraud. So it's already a felony. There are codes on these ballots that allow people to track their ballot and to replace it if it was cast under some kind of coercion. What you don't actually see are people actually using those codes and saying that there was a problem. And what I think I would also add is that it's very detectable if this kind of voter fraud is happening, right? If you look back to North Carolina and the congressional race there in North Carolina's 9th district back in 2018, there was an example of exactly what your caller is talking about. A Republican operative there went around collecting absentee ballots and filling them in. He was caught. It was really, really easy to find that kind of subterfuge. It's also really, really difficult to turn an election on that kind of fraud. If we're thinking about protecting against fraud, I think it's much more of a risk to be using, you know, hackable voting machines than it is to be talking about how we safeguard individual absentee ballots.
Thanks again for the call, Gary. We'll go to Barb with us in Green Bay now. Barb, hello.
Hello.
What do you want to tell us about, Barb?
Well, it kind of goes along with what you were just discussing. My mother is in a memory care unit in Green Bay, and I believe it was mid-March when Governor Evers said he was going to send mail-in ballots or absentee ballots to every nursing care facility in the state, and he did. But if you're in a memory care unit, most of them have signed medical file returning, and they should not be voting. Thankfully, the facility my mother is in called me and let me know that the ballot appeared, asked me what I wanted to do with it. And if you're not an honest person, you could vote twice. Or I had already voted. I'm registered in another state. But it just left it open. And also at that point when he said he was worried about susceptible population going to vote, if he had sent out ballots then to more people, we would have had a better turnout or more people to ask balloting. I also used to live in Washington State, where they do all their ballots by mail, and it works quite well. Although, even though we let them know we moved when we moved back to the Midwest, the ballots followed us. So if you're not an honest person, you could potentially vote twice.
Barb, thanks a lot for the call. So Barb likes mail-in voting overall, Dave, but she worries that dishonest people could, I guess, in effect, double their vote in a couple of circumstances.
Certainly states that use all mail-in voting and that automatically mail ballots out, they have to do a really good job of protecting and updating their voter rolls. The evidence appears to be that most of those states do take that job very seriously. But I think that she brings, you know, Barbara raises a really important point. The point is, how do you distribute these ballots? Who do they go to? And all of these are questions that we have to work out and that would be better to work out 200 days before an election than to replicate what happened in Wisconsin, in which all of these sticky questions that have to be worked out thoughtfully and carefully were trying to be worked out in a really compressed period of time. And what you end up with is an elections board that is overwhelmed with a demand and they can't get all of the ballots out. You end up with all of these problems that if we spend the next several months thinking this problem through and ensuring a safe election, we'll be in much better shape. I think there's a lot that happened in Wisconsin that we have to try to avoid this fall.
Thanks a lot for that call. We're talking to Dave Daly. His new book is called Unrigged, How Americans Are Battling Back to Save Democracy. We're talking about our Wisconsin election, the idea of mail-in voting, and more. Back to your calls. Emily is with us now in Racine. Emily, hello.
Hi there.
What do you want to bring up, Emily?
Just a couple points. Now, that after just listening to your to the last caller, I wanted to add something to what I was actually calling in about. We hear all the time, and like your guest is saying, is that mainly the people who don't believe in mail-in voting are people who the president has somehow brainwashed into thinking that the news or anything that's reported that are actually facts are fiction. So it's very difficult to have a topic that you can debate with these people because everything that you try to tell them, they just say is fake news, even if it's something that has a factual basis that you can prove with statistics. It's like to them, it doesn't matter. But that was the one point. The other point that I wanted to make was about how sad it was that our partisan politics in Wisconsin had people come out and vote during a pandemic. And voter suppression is very scary. Our president has blatantly stated that the Republicans know that if everybody actually voted, that there's no way they would ever win another election. Not only did it make it difficult for people in the inner city or people who tend to vote Democratic to actually go and vote yesterday, our districts are so gerrymandered here in Wisconsin that even when the percentage, we have the majority of votes in the Democratic Party, that we still were represented less because of the districts being gerrymandered.
Emily, thanks for the call. And that takes us to spend a couple minutes directly on your book, Dave. You focus on what people, if they feel like Emily does, can do about their concerns about these various parts of our voting system.
Yes. I would just say first that even the president had a panel, a commission on voter integrity and voter fraud, and that disbanded without finding any actual proof of a voter fraud. So I would like to think that the facts on this would unite all Americans. I did a book on gerrymandering and redistricting, and it was kind of a depressing book. You know, I mean, these are issues that can make you feel as if our electoral system is deeply unfair. And I went out for this new book, Unrigged, and I really wanted to find examples of Americans who were fighting back and who were working across the aisle in such a way as to fix all of these problems. I went to Michigan and I followed Voters Not Politicians, a group that was launched by a 27-year-old woman on Facebook a couple of days after the 2016 election, where she was thinking about a topic that might unite everybody, and settled on gerrymandering and fixing gerrymandering in Michigan. And it leads to 4,000 volunteers creating 425,000 signatures, and they go out and they create an independent commission in Michigan that wins with 60% of the vote there. I went down to Florida, and I chronicled the battle there to return voting rights to former felons who lose their voting rights permanently in Florida after a felony conviction, one of the only states in America where that happened. And folks there created this amazing moral coalition of black and white, left and right, rich and poor. It was funded by the Koch brothers and also by the ACLU. And it was all about second chances and fairness and giving a civic voice back to people. And that won with 64% of the vote in a year in which Floridians elected a Republican governor and a Republican to the U.S. Senate. So there are all these examples, Ohio, Michigan, Missouri, Colorado, and Utah, all pulling together to stop gerrymandering. Alabama on felon voting rights.
We'll have to leave it there. Thanks to Dave Daly, Senior Fellow for the Nonpartisan Voting Advocacy. He's the author of the new book, Unrigged, How Americans Are Battling Back to Save Democracy. We talked to him about voting by mail during a pandemic and other challenges facing our election system.